can check I'm not making any of this up. And let's pray and ask for God's help. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is clear and that your word is what we need to hear. So please may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, if you're new to us this morning, we are using the Bible to answer one of the biggest questions that our society has. And that question should be on the screen. Oh, there's me. Oh, that's a bad... Oh, no one wants to see that, do they? The light is not very favourable on my hairline, is it? Just saying. Okay, here we go. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be human? What makes me, me? Well, Jeremy Vine has a whole radio programme answering that question. And he's had a fair few guests along to answer what it means to be human. So here's a selection. David Attenborough, he says, we are animals. There's no question about that. We're a special kind of animal. We all live and die. We're apes with clothes on. Thank you for that, Mr. Attenborough. Or Peter Tatchell, who's an LGBT rights campaigner, he says, protest makes us human. We'd still be living in the dark ages without it. Our capacity to discern and speak against injustice is what makes us human. We're hardwired to rebel. I think he's got a good point there. I don't think we just speak against injustice, though. I think the rebellion is deeper than that, and that's more of a problem. What about John Sentamu, the Archbishop of York? He says, how we affirm our humanity is in Jesus Christ. God is creator, and this is where our humanity comes from. An intimate and self-giving relationship with our Creator God. Being human makes us look beyond ourselves. It's always good and warming when you get a good quote from a bishop, isn't it? Well, as Christians, we believe the Bible is our final authority. It is absolute truth in a postmodern culture, with alternative facts and fake news. So it is to the Bible that we go to answer our question. We're not going to answer the question completely this week, but we're going to get a good steer on it. So far in our series, we've seen that Jesus is fully God and fully man. He came to serve, not be served. His love is other person-centered. And we've also seen we have a different relationship with God than animals do. We are the pinnacle of creation. I'm afraid, with no disrespect to Mr. Attenborough, I'm going to have to disagree with him. We're not just another animal. Now, when you saw that our reading was from Genesis 1, maybe you thought, oh, here we go. Here's the weird stuff that we don't talk to our friends about. We're not going to talk anything about that this morning. We're not concerned about whether God made the world in 6 days or over 6 stages over millions of years. What we are concerned about is the fact that however it was done, God did it. God did it on purpose. God is involved. So it is to him we look to find out who we are. We are creatures to his creator, and that really matters. Because our passage today, from right at the start of the Bible, tells us one fundamental thing about being human, and it's this. Suspense. There we go. We are made in God's image. We are made in God's image. Verse 26 of Genesis 1. Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We're pictures of what God is like. Whether we believe in him or not, whether we like him or not, we are made in God's image if we are human beings. Well, why does this matter? There was a French theologian, an epic beard grower during the Reformation, and he was called John Calvin, and he wrote that there's an unbreakable chain between who we are and who God is. Our identity is bound up with God's identity. As Christine told us last week, we can't know ourselves properly without a biblically informed view of God. And so, note what that must mean. If God isn't who he is, we are not who we are. If God isn't who he says he is, we are not who we are. So what we think about God really matters. We're going to see this morning that if God is not who he says he is, then we are not who we are. If God is not who he says he is, Christians need to stop getting wound up about same-sex marriage and transgenderism. If God is not who he is, we need to listen to the words of our very own Bishop of Chester when he wrote, "Christians need to stop overdoing it and making such a fuss about these things." And he was talking about transgenderism. This matters. To see what it means being in God's image, we need a brief look at whose image we bear. What is it about God that we mirror? It can't be everything. Because God is creator. We are not. He is perfect, and he's not limited in the ways that we are. God is everywhere, knows everything, and is unbeatable. We are not any of these things. If you want to quiz me on a pet subject of yours later, I'm probably not going to do very well. Because I don't know everything. God does. So what is it about God's image that we bear? Well, it is, as the Bible says, the nature of his relationship. The Bible says God is one. There are no other gods. And yet, within one God, there are three united and distinct persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. They're not three gods. They're not one God with different hats or stages. They're one God in three persons. These persons are equal in love, substance, glory, and goal. They are different in their relations to one another and their actions in the world. We need to hold both of those things in tension. Now, there you go. That is the doctrine of God in a nutshell. Confused? Me too. Don't worry, there's plenty of coffee over there. We can talk about it then. We haven't got much time to explore all of this stuff. But the main point about God's nature that we bear is this. We are created in God's image, and God is equal, and God is different. That is the image we are made in. We are equal. We are equal. We saw last week we are different from animals. We are made by God and our lives matter. So that must govern how we relate to one another. It's easy, isn't it, to treat the people we love like a fellow image bearer. But what about those we find really hard? What about those people who are just very irritating? Those people are also made in God's image. The person who, when they walk into a room, your heart just sinks. The person who talks too much. The person who says things you don't like. The person who voted Brexit. The person who voted Remain. The person who is the President of the United States. The person who is the Prime Minister. The person who is the leader of the opposition. In other words, the person who isn't like you. And that bothers you. All of them have one thing in common, that they are made in God's image. It's worth remembering that when we switch on the TV or switch on the radio or when we come into contact with some of these people. Now, being in God's image doesn't mean that we're perfect and that we're inherently in some right relationship with God. And it doesn't mean we can't disagree with each other. But we have no excuse to treat one another, whether out loud or in our heads, as subhuman. We have no right. That is why, as Christians, we are rightly against any kind of racism, sexism, homophobia, or transphobia, because all humans bear God's image. Verse 27, God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. We are all made in God's image. Male and female are both created in the image of God. Both have the role of running the world under their creator. To be a human is to be a creature that practices God-like, other person-centered love. If you're a human being, you're an image bearer. Your role is to live for your creator because he made you. And that's just how it is. We're equal in God's image. But here's the thing. Despite what culture may say, equality and uniformity are not the same thing. There are not the same thing. To be equal does not mean to be exactly the same. We know that because of who God is. We are equal. Secondly, we are different. We are different. Verse 26 and 27. Again, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Apparently, in the 70s, church banners used to read something like this. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That is not a good way to put it. That is not helpful. But it is true to say that God created male and female, both as equal image bearers, both as different and equal. I may be speaking the obvious, but what I'm saying is quite controversial. Some would say offensive. Others would say hate speech. The problem is, what was once taken as non-negotiable has become negotiable. Being in God's image means men being men and women being women. Now, we're not going to get into what that looks like because we haven't got time. Next week, hear Rob on that. No pressure. Gender roles have, of course, been manipulated and abused. There are so many times that I am ashamed of my gender and what we have done. But that does not mean the answer is to squash gender as a concept, because gender is part of God's good creation. It's part of bearing his image. If God wasn't Trinity, there would be no need for gender. Gender is a good thing. We're equal and we're different. That is good. And that's actually why, as a Christian, I take issue with the redefinition of marriage and the attempt to make gender a fluid and flexible concept. Not because of one verse taken out of context, as the accusation goes. Not because I don't like people. I hope I've proved that because we are made in God's image, we have no reason to hate someone. And it's not because I don't have time for genuine struggles. Gender dysphoria is, I can't imagine how painful it must be, because it's not something I've experienced. But the reason why I take issue with these things is because I believe God is one and God is three. I believe as humans we bear that image. That means we are equal and different. It is male and female created in God's image. Not two men. Not two women. Just like the Father and the Son cannot swap their roles, then neither do we have the right to swap our gender. We certainly don't have the right to enforce primary schools to encourage that as an option. Just as marriage is designed to reflect that equality and difference. In our second reading, Jesus quotes this part of Genesis. People often say, don't they, oh, Jesus didn't say anything about marriage. Jesus didn't say anything about same-sex relationships. It was just all the homophobia that came mainly from Paul. Paul gets a bad press. But what did Jesus say in our reading? Why did he quote this passage? Jesus believed marriage was between one man and one woman. And Jesus is God. Marriage was created through him. So I think he gets to call the shots on defining it. I believe this because the Bible says it. If you know anything about me, you'll know that I hate conflict. Believe me, I wouldn't choose to believe these things that single me out in our culture as a backwards bigot. I don't get kicks from causing fights. I hate conflict. It's really hard to stand up and say this. But I say it because the Bible does. Because God is who he is. He is equal and different. He is one and three. And we bear his image. So we defend these things. We do not defend these things because we hate people. And defending these things is not the same as homophobia and transphobia. Our culture will disagree. But sadly, we have the truth in God's word. What we are trying to do is maintain God's design for humanity because he is the creator of humanity. We celebrate the fact that we're equal and we're different. Biblical Christianity believes God is one and God is three. He is of himself equal and different, and we are made in his image. And we reflect that equality and difference. Creatures of our creator. Now, it's been in the news recently, you might have heard about it, that the Church of England has come up with some liturgy, a service that's designed to affirm a sex change. Now, why would someone like me be against such a nice thing? Well, because it goes against what it means to be human. A service like that is saying, God made a mistake. Because I'm trapped in the wrong body. So God must make mistakes. So God isn't perfect. And then we've got a problem, because if God isn't perfect, the entire fabric of reality unravels. And the Doctor Who geek in me is really rejoicing that I've just got the words fabric of reality into a sermon. Now again, this is not judging genuine struggle. If someone came up to me to talk about these things pastorally, I would listen to them. I would love them. I would talk to them. But that doesn't mean we can't speak truth into lies. Let me give you an example. You've heard enough of me preaching by now to know that I suffer from depression. In my experience, depression is telling a lie, a big lie. It's telling me a lie that I am out of reach of God. And so, if things get too bad, I have the right to take my own life. That is the lie. I need truth to speak into that because it is a lie. I can't just have someone tolerate my belief about myself in that circumstance, because that is euthanasia. And euthanasia is very dangerous for someone with depression. I am really ticking all the controversial boxes this morning. So it's the same for the person who feels like they're trapped in the wrong body. At some point, they need to gently be told the truth in love. That it is a lie to feel that way because God made us male and female. Feelings lie. Feelings lie. As God's image bearers, we are equal and different, and so we are relational. We're designed to relate to one another in God's image. Our love is to be like God's love, not me first, but everyone else first. It's in Genesis 3 when all that goes wrong. And so we are free servants. Later in our reading from Mark 10, Jesus says he did not come to be served, but to serve. To be God's image bearer is to act like the one whose image we bear. We are free servants. We are free because Jesus' death cleanses us from our sin. And we are servants because we owe one another love. We love one another. So we rejoice in our equality. And we rightly speak out against racism, sexism, homophobia, and transphobia. We rightly speak out against those. And we rejoice in what makes us different. And we rightly speak out for heterosexual marriage and against the desire to make gender a fluid concept. We don't see ourselves as individuals if we're human. We celebrate the relationship we have with one another in Christ. And the best way of doing this is by serving each other, loving each other, putting one another first. Just like the love the three persons of the one God show each other. So what will this look like for you this time tomorrow? For me, if I meet someone who I find hard to get on with, I need to work hard to find a way of loving them. If someone comes up to me after this sermon and disagrees with it completely, remember, I hate conflict, I'm going to find that very hard, but they are a fellow image bearer. And so, I must love them, and I must listen to them. What about you? Has this talk made you angry? Has this talk made you angry with me? If so, that's fine. If it's annoyed you, fine. If you're annoyed with me, fine. Please think of how you can relate to me as a fellow image bearer when you get cross. And please don't hit me, because my face is my backup if ministry falls through. Thank you for your affirming laughter on that one. Tomorrow, are you going to an office where you, if someone asks, oh, what did you hear in church this morning, you're going to keep very quiet? Or are you going home to a family member who identifies with these issues? How can you show them love as a fellow image bearer? How can you show them love by speaking truth to them in gentle love? We're to reflect our artist and our model in how we act. We look to Christ, who stayed God and became human. Why not reread Philippians 2 as we looked at 2 weeks ago? How did Jesus love people? How did he speak truth? Reflect your artist and your model. Love one another. Celebrate biblical definitions of marriage and gender. Do not lord it over one another. Do not be tempted to let culture win. As Christians, we are salmon swimming upstream, and that is not easy. Being human is being God's image bearer, loving one another, celebrating our equality and our difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is clear about these things. Please, Lord, guard us from abusing what we know and using that to treat people as subhuman. Please don't let us ever do that. Please help us as we speak truth in love to those around us. Lord, our culture does not like these things. So please help us to reflect our artist and our model in how we love one another and how we speak in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.